It's the Mornings with Ed show. 9:20 the time. I've been looking forward to this day for quite some time. We had this band in studio a while back, Animal Sun. The best way I can describe it is just passionate songwriting and beautifully lyriced and wonderfully played. You're going to get a chance to enjoy some of that. They've got a December 15th show happening at the Mint. Right now, we're going to hear a couple of live songs and then have a great discussion about their latest release called Victory Song. This is a release that's gotten 22,000 plus slams on stream, man. It's getting some killer action. You're about to hear this live from our beautiful Julie Lawton studios in Laguna Beach. Please welcome Animal Sun and Girl in Blue.
The night is young for girl I knew, who spent a life dressed in blue. Out among these restless streets, you're looking for the next release. A sleepless siren, eyes so cool, never fearing growing old, crying out a split soul before she moves along. She screams tonight, I wanna be like you, dancing in the light. Get the abuse lost in the crowd. Window down, hide the fumes. You got a heartbeat full of land, and she's aiming straight for the head. She just wanted to be someone, find a reason, carry on. She swears to need a fight, a way to stay alive. She screams tonight, I wanna be like you, dancing in the light. Forget the abuse, lost in the crowd, no one.
Julie Lawton Studios right here in Laguna Beach. That's Stephen Blake, Animal Sun, and the Girl in Blue. You're about to hear something that's brand new. For the very first time, no one else has ever heard this live, certainly not on the airwaves. This is brand new music, and we're treated to it. It's called Still Believe. Once again, Animal Sun.
Is there shame in saying goodbye when I cannot face the look in your eye? We'll say it's all for the best. Your head's off, elated my chest before you leave. Me like you still believe. take back what we've done. We made our mistakes, but live highest one. And this crowd beneath has been swept out from under our feet before you leave. Me like you still believe. Yeah, no more running, no more hiding, no more faking broken stars. Oh, just before you leave, hold me like you still believe. You're
Animal Son, Stephen Blake, with a show December 15th at the Mint in Los Angeles and then on December 18th at the Troubadour. Brand new single out is called Victory Song. Let's hear that now while we have him come on in for a conversation. This is Victory Song.
sing a
The band is Animal Son. Directly in front of me, I have Stephen Blake. Just fantastic writing in that last song. Victory Song was what you just heard. It's about living without fear. Am I crazy here? It's about death having spoken to you at one time?
Yeah. It's, you know, everybody has that, you know, thought at the back of their mind that, you know, one day it's all going to end. So it's about coming to terms with that fear, you know, understanding that we're all, you know, human and overcoming it, you know, because a life without fear is a life worth living.
So. Right. And when did you start writing that song? I wanted to get, is it okay that I mentioned you've suffered the death of a very close friend at one point in your life?
Yes, quite a few. But more in particular, the song was inspired by the guy who I named the band after, whose last name was Son. Uh-huh. I started writing the song probably, I want to say it was early 2016. And I was still in college back on the East Coast. I had junior year, so that'd be a third year. But it was my first real experience with all the pent-up anxiety and pushing down things that I probably shouldn't have pushed down for years. And it kind of came to a boiling point, and I reached like a point in my life where I'd really experienced those things physically.
Right.
You push things down long enough mentally, they come up physically. So then I wrote that song to sort of overcome, you know, the baggage that I was carrying from losing James. And that song was my way of working through it. It was my therapy.
Right.
And I couldn't be happier with the result. I think, you know, our producer, Aaron Zusapeta, did a wonderful job. And right. Will, my brother, you know, crushed it on the drums.
Yeah, he did.
It came together in a way that I think nobody really expected. And like I said, we're just speechless with the result. So, yeah.
When you write from a place of darkness, does the writing itself, as you're putting pen to paper, is that a burden on your soul as well? Is that heavy on your soul as you're writing?
It is. You know, my friends make the joke that Stephen oftentimes just feels way too much all the time. So for me, it's kind of just like the permanent state that I'm in.
Right.
But when I write, you know, it kind of becomes almost like second nature. I sort of like go to another place, and things pop into my head that like shouldn't pop into there. They kind of come naturally when you have all this buried emotion and you're looking for a way to express it, but you can't say it,
right.
But you can sing it and you can write it down, because that for some reason is easier to me than a song is worth a million words,
right.
In my world.
Right. So. Right. Well put. Now, as Zeus is putting it together, your producer, Zeus.
Yeah.
As he's putting it together musically and putting the music to it, the music is also quite haunting. Were you looking specifically for that sound?
Yeah, man. We were really inspired by songs like Wait by M83. Right. And you know, there's bands like Nothing But Thieves that we also love. They have this atmospheric, cinematic sound. Right. But, you know, it still sounds like a pop record. You know,
right.
At the same time.
It does.
But
it's
got that haunting, ethereal, cinematic experience. We want the listener to be immersed in, you know, our universe.
Right.
And our universe is dark, but there's always a glimmer of hope. This song may be dark and depressing, seemingly from the title, but it's all about victory over that. You
it
win.
Is.
There's
right.
always a light in every single one of our songs, whether it's tackling mental health, relationship, doesn't matter. There's always hope in it, and that's the main message in our music.
That's fantastic. It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to the video for this thing. Right now, I actually can't wait to see the video for this song.
Man, the visual, yeah. That's one thing. We're already in the planning stages of it. We got a couple of great ideas. The visuals for this should be pretty cool.
Yeah, looking forward to that. December 15th, you're at the Mint. I mistakenly said that on December 18th, you're at the Troubadour. That's January 18th that you're at the Troubadour.
Yeah,
but the Mint show on December 15th, what a great venue, first of all. And I know you're going to crush it.
Thanks.
I know you're going to crush
Thank
it.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
The song Girl in Blue, the very first song that you performed for us this morning, that's doing really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed. Give us the background of Girl in Blue.
I've talked about Girl in Blue before, but I didn't necessarily kind of go into more specifics. I think I talked about how the song came to be instead of like what inspired it.
Right.
You know, Girl in Blue can be a number of things. For me, it was kind of an ode to people I've dated in my life. I tend to date damaged people because I'm a damaged person.
Right.
Kind
of drawn to each other?
Yeah, we're drawn to each other. You know, that's what we like to say. But, you know, when, you know, you're out, you know, basically it was recognizing, you know, that although, you know, like you've been through these terrible things, you've been through these traumatic experiences, like in Girl in Blue, like she's using self-destructive ways to cope with that. And she doesn't realize she's living with mental illness or she's living with these things that are affecting the world around her negatively.
Right.
But she does them anyways. And in the chorus, deep down, all she wants is to find that other person. She wants to be like you. She wants people to know that she's hurting.
Right.
But she doesn't know how to say it, you know, kind of like, you know, I just said about Victory Song.
Right.
Anyways, so that is one interpretation of it. You know, another one I found that fans have kind of come up with, like you said, the song has gotten, you know, I think it's at 25,000 actually now, just on Spotify. So that other fans have had theories like, oh, she is a metaphor for depression herself.
Right.
And like when, or mental illness. And like in the music video for it, she's kind of following me around and stalking me. Like a shadow in the background. Eventually she overtakes me, you know, at the end of it. And that people are like, oh, that's like a metaphor for depression. That's what the meaning is. And I'm like, whatever it means to you is what it means.
Right.
In my opinion, like if somebody could be like, it's like something so left field, I wouldn't even be able to say it on air. And I'd be like, if that's what it means to you, that's what it means.
I don't know whether you meant to write it interpretive or not, but yeah, everyone has their own interpretation to your lyrics lend themselves to that, to multiple interpretations, I think.
I blame Radiohead.
Well, that's a fine band to blame, man, I'm telling you. So recently you did, how hard is it to sing a national anthem?
Difficult.
That's got to be tough
when
man.
when it's you know, it's just you a cappella in a big stadium in front of, you know, almost like over 20,000.
Yeah, right.
People.
So if the audience wasn't watching hockey, you sang recently at a Kings game.
Yeah.
And had you done the national anthem before?
No. Well, I think they did it at UCLA.
Okay.
UCLA one time.
All right.
So one other time, and that it was at a women's basketball game. So to go from, you know, college basketball to, you know, NHL, you know, in just a matter of, I want to say it was weeks.
Right.
It was pretty crazy, you know, that was quite the jump. So, you know, hopefully we get to, you know, we're super grateful they had us. We hope to do, we're already talking about potentially doing it for, you know, other sporting events, maybe not NHL, but right. In, you know, the spring. You know, we would love to go back, but there's already talk of, you know.
I saw the tape.
Secret. I can't tell people yet.
I'm a hockey fan, so I saw the cut of it, and yeah, you kill the national anthem, dude. Oh, you actually kill it. It's and that's got to be one of the hardest songs in the world to sing. I truly believe that.
It's nerve wracking. And there's no music behind you.
Right, and you're standing on ice. There must be a little slippage there, right? Yeah.
They put
yeah.
a carpet down. Right? I didn't totally bust face.
Now the second song you did live, brand new, and that's a hot song. It's called Still Believe.
Yes.
Tell me about Still Believe.
Well, that's definitely one for the album that we're currently in the process of talking about. I don't know if we have a date on that yet, but we have been stockpiling material for an album for a while now. And once we really get, you know, our PR campaigns and things like up and running to really get our name out there, this album is something we've been talking about since the band's inception in 2014. So it's been almost 6 years at this point.
Right.
But yeah, Still Believe I wrote, that's another one, it's kind of old, I think it was 2017.
Right.
I had this, you know, long-term girlfriend in college. Things didn't end the best, and I wanted to write a song about the moment that you know things are over for good, and it's like the final goodbye moment, and you kind of have this brief period where whether it's a last hug, last kiss, even just a handshake, where you pretend for a brief moment that it all isn't happening and, you know, just act for a brief moment like you still believe that this could have worked out.
Right.
And then you pass on and it's over for good. And that was the moment I was writing about. It was like, just before you leave, hold me like you still believe. It's just that moment that for a brief second, let's just pretend this isn't happening and, you know, believe that this could have worked out. And that's what I wrote that song about, was that it's maybe a 10-second period.
Right.
And I stretched that into 3.5 minutes.
You're able in your writing to capture the feelings that many of us share. And that I think that's the target. That's the nail. That's the hammer in the nail right there. Is that in your writing? Yes, it's personal, but you capture something that's very specific to many people, man. And I dig that about it.
Thank you.
No, man. Thank you on that. Tell me about the first round of the Grammy ballot and what song? How did that work out?
We got a call from one of Robert's friends and Robert Margoleff, the other producer on the record. He was like, hey, you know, your song has been put in for the Grammy ballot of 2019 in three categories. I mean, we didn't get nominated, but, you know, just to be on the ballot is pretty crazy when you, like, don't have... It was for Girl in Blue, to make the specific Girl in Blue.
I was just about to ask which song.
Girl in Blue was, like...
It could have been five songs.
Record of the Year, Song of the Year, and, like, Best Pop Group or Duo Performance, whichever... That's a long category. I always have trouble remembering it, but that one was, we were in those three for that song. And, you know, even though we didn't get nominated, it was just such an honor to be on there when, you know, really we just got our start this past summer.
Right.
You know, we did our first big self-release, and now we're working towards a much more.
I have a feeling you'll be back on the ballot. I have a feeling you'll be back on the ballot.
This time we're going to get the nomination next year at this time.
You mentioned the putting together of an album. As a performer, when do you know you've got the right combination of songs on there? I know you've got a few dozen songs in your stockpile, but when do you know you have the right combination of, let's say, 8 or 10 or whatever? Is that a decision you make, or is that a decision you make collectively, or...
It's definitely a collective decision. Will is not here today. He is currently out of town, but he will be back on Friday for a bunch of promo leading up to this Mint show, now that Victory Song's been released and whatnot. But yeah, so for the album thing, man, it's pretty simple. You know, like, first of all, you have to have enough songs for it to go on the album. But thematically, it depends on what kind of writer you want to be.
Right.
Do you want to be a writer that has a theme and you're telling a story with a beginning and bookend,
right,
or do you just kind of want to throw a bunch of singles on a record and put a cool flashy font, you know, with, you know, a trending looking album artwork and be like, this is, you know, special and prolific or whatever it is. So it really just depends on what kind of songwriter you want to be. But I think the best thing you can do, you know, when you're making an album is, what do you want to be remembered for?
Right.
It's the thing you have to ask yourself, because when you put those songs together, that's an impression you can't take back.
Right.
That's the first, or for many people, when you're starting an album, it's the first impression you get to make on the music industry. And look at bands like The Strokes, The Killers, you know, many would say their debut was their best, but like that gave them such a foothold that there was no turning back after that. So for me, knowing when an album is ready is when you know it can be iconic.
Right.
Yeah. That is when you know.
Yeah. I, as impressive as you are in a live performance, as impressive as your songwriting is, I think the conversation is impressive. I love where you want to go. I really do. What's up next in the next couple of months for you?
I mean, quite a bit. We got some more radio shows to do. Not as wonderful as this Loving Station, but you know, still got to do them.
Love it. Right.
And then we got. The Mint show this weekend.
Right.
We got some more recording to do. We've got a video that we're going to start filming here pretty soon in the next few weeks.
Is it the Victory Song video or
yeah,
no? It's okay.
The Victory Song.
Excellent.
And we've got the Troubadour show in January. That one's going to be a big, big night for us.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of PR campaigns to launch. We're gonna be busy, man.
Right.
We're very busy. And hoping to do some much wider dates in 2020 that kind of go out to the rest of the U.S. and not necessarily be just in California.
Right. And you can stay focused being that busy? You can stay focused?
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
I live and breathe this. Nothing else matters.
All right. We're in studio with Stephen Blake. Animal Son is the band. The latest single is Victory Song. The Grammy first round ballot single is Girl in Blue. If you haven't heard it yet, you're one of the few that hasn't. And where can we find you online?
Oh, yeah. So Instagram is a great place for us. We drop a lot of teasers and hints and things there before we even put them out on any other social media platform. So @animal_sun, sun is S-U-N. So @animal_sun is a great place to find a lot of upcoming events, whether that's shows, you know, stuff going on in the music video realm or recording, we drop all the hints there. Spotify is a great place to follow us, you know, Apple Music, all of our stuff is there as well. I would definitely focus on those three, but, you know, everywhere. Fantastic. And if there is a streaming platform, it's on there.
Right on.
If you missed any portion of this, we're going to podcast it and put it up on the website, the KX93.5 website, a little bit later on this afternoon. Just look for the Mornings with Ed tab and pop it down and hear the entire last 30 minutes. I want to thank you very much, Stephen Blake, for coming in studio.
It's an honor, man.
I'll look forward to seeing you again, all right? All right, and don't forget, December 15th, there at the Mint in Los Angeles.